Joshua chapter 6. It's good to be in church. It's good to be together with believers. Man, you spend all week out in the world. It's good to get around Christians a little while. And when we walked in tonight, it felt like dinner on the grounds day. Say, well, why? Because the sun was in here. We haven't seen sun on a Sunday night service in a long time. So it felt good. It was nice. And appreciate you working with changing schedules and all of that. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear reward came after the ark of the Lord. The priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. Say, what are we reading? Joshua chapter 6 is the Israelites taking over Jericho. God gave them a plan, and this is them executing that plan. It's important to, we're not necessarily talking about Jericho tonight, but it certainly plays an important role in our message tonight. Verse 14, and the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the city. So they did 6 days. So again, we understand the pattern. For 6 days, the horns go, then the ark, and then all the people, and they just walk around. And the horns are blowing continually, and the rest of the people are quiet. And it came to pass on the seventh day, verse 15, that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city about the same manner 7 times. And on that day, they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house. It's kind of like a little Noah there. Anybody that's in Rahab's house that day was saved. Just like anybody that was in the ark was saved. One way in, one way out. We know all the picture of Christ, and so much can be said about Rahab the harlot, but that is not our message either tonight, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Here we see the importance of the conquest of Jericho. Following that, we see that they were warned, though, as they were going into the city. He says this, he makes this very important statement in verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, except for Rahab. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Is that pretty clear? Don't touch anything. That was the command. Lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. I wonder what someone thought when they were thinking about what the consequences would have been had they taken anything. Oh, a little bit of trouble. Verse 19. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. See, what would happen in Jericho for this one instance, everything inside, anything of value, was going into the treasury of Israel. And to take from that would be taking from the God Himself. And the Bible says, if you did that, there would be trouble. Can you think about, you know, if I said, all right, here's what we got to do. We're going to walk all the way down from here up into the old sanctuary. I want everyone to go down there. And if you could do me a favor, please don't touch the walls. The walls are wet with paint. Guaranteed 3 people are going to come in with, in the gym, at least 3 people, wet paint on their hands. Why? Because that's just what we do. Not supposed to touch something. I wonder if it's really wet. Right? Isn't that what we do? You walk through the hospital, you see a sign on the wall, it says wet paint. I wonder how long that's been there. I wonder if this is true. Am I being lied to? And I go like that. Nope, dry. Sometimes not. I wonder when they went around Jericho that seventh time, and it all fell, and they knew the rule. Do not touch anything for yourself. It is all for the treasury. I wonder if someone thought, all that gold, all that silver, the beautiful raiments, they're not going to miss just one. One out of all, they don't even know what's in there. If I take someone, no one, listen now, this is important, no one will know. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Achan. No, that's not what it says. Against the children of Israel. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, so often we live in the shelter and the umbrella of your mercy and grace. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. Heavenly Father, as we approach this delicate and yet severe subject of sin tonight, Lord, I pray that you show us the dangers, remind us of the consequences, and help us with the victory. Lord, we need you here tonight. Lord, I recognize that this is a pointed message, but Lord, I pray that your hand would point to our hearts. God, that it would be dealings between us and you, not amongst each other. Lord, we need you to speak to us tonight. And Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the principles. Thank you that you change not. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're familiar with the story of Jericho, and maybe you're a little less familiar with the story of Achan. Achan, we're very clear who Achan is. We're told of his dad and his grandfather and his great-grandfather, even what tribe he was. And the Bible starts Joshua chapter 7 with that preface of there's going to be trouble in Israel. Why? Because one person did what they weren't supposed to do. Achan thought he either justified the trouble or he thought, how could they ever know? Maybe Achan had debt. And he thought, man, this will really help me get out of debt. I'll be able to pay off for things and finally get a leg up. Maybe he just thought that the trouble was something he was worth, it was worth dealing with. See, that's what sin does. We look at sin and go, here's the consequence and here's the choice and all right, that's justified. But here's the problem. Here's the lie of sin. The consequence is always much greater than we ever anticipated. We have 3 points here tonight. We're going to be looking at the sin of Achan. Number one, please understand this. No one made Achan sin. No one made Achan go through the land as he's walking by, as the conquest of Jericho, the walls have fallen, everybody's rejoicing, and Achan snags a little for himself. He did that. He chose that. He saw it. His eye affected his heart. He all of a sudden, with lust and covetousness, decided, I am going to take this. No one forced it into his hand. It's not like Joseph and his brothers where someone hid it in Achan's tent. No, Achan willfully chose sin. Hey, here tonight, please understand the principle of sin. Every sin that has been ever committed in our life has been our choice. Throughout history, men have used just about every conceivable excuse to justify sin in their lives, only to fail. Remember, Exodus 32. I don't know. I just put the gold in, and out came this calf. Aaron, remember Aaron? I don't know, Moses. I don't know what happened. We were just here and there was some music and we were dancing and we put the gold in and all of a sudden this idol came out. No, we sin because it's easier than walking in obedience. We sin because it's easier than saying no. Remember Eve? Eve blamed who? Serpent. Adam blames Eve. Hey, what'd you do? The serpent tricked me. Adam, what'd you... The woman that you gave me. How often times do we see people say, I chose that. I messed up. It was a mess. I'm sorry. Remember when Samuel came to Saul? What's that bleeding I hear? Right? Remember? You're supposed to slaughter all the sheep. And what does he do? Well, he kept back some for an offering to the Lord. Samuel, you were late. There's never justification to do wrong. There's never justification to disobey God. And we are just like Achan. Every single day we circle and we go around the things that we ought not to touch. And somehow, somewhere in our mind, we justify it. Say, it's okay. Or, I'm willing to pay that price, the trouble. But please understand, point number one, sin is a willful choice on our part. We don't fall into sin. Sin isn't a mistake. It's not like, oh, I misplaced something. It is a conscious decision to disobey God. So you make it sound so awful. Sin is awful. Sin is awful. Romans chapter 7. The sin of Achan tonight, number one, it was the choice of sin. Achan walked around the city of Jericho that day. He eyed up what he wanted and took it for himself. A conscious decision. A choice. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. There's a war. A war every single day. Why? Because we carry around a nature that desires and craves sin. And every single day, our spirit and our flesh battle. Paul talks about it. Paul, probably the greatest record of any Christian we have, fought this very same thing you fight. And he says, I do the things I hate. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Right? We justify it. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's my flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is to present with me, but how to perform that which is good. How many of you have ever found this? I find not. Man, I make decisions, I try to do right, but I just haven't found that escape route. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He says, I know what's right, but I don't do that. There's Achan. He's walking around. He's saying, he's rehearsing the words of Joshua. And it said, don't touch the stuff. Don't touch the stuff. Don't touch the stuff. And what is it going to happen? Well, I want it. Why? Because we have a flesh. And we battle these things. Do we have any fishermen here tonight? Anybody like to fish? You got the helms here. Yes, I know you guys like fishing. Anybody? Brother Primer, you like fishing? You know what this is? Anybody know what this is? Careful. It's what? It's a fishing lure, right? What kind? Bait. Crank. He said crank bait. All right. Any guesses who doesn't fish? You know what this is? This is made to look good. This moves through. There's little things inside here that glimmer. It's pretty. It's nice. I say, why are you holding it so weird? Because on the bottom are these awful hooks. And this thing goes pulling through the water all nice. And I don't know if in the fish's head it's saying, don't eat that. Don't bite that. You saw Bobby yesterday get yanked out of the water. Just pulled right out like he flew. Like he got wings. And just yanked right out. And it looked exactly like this. Don't do that. That. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. See, the devil makes sin look enticing. It wouldn't be a temptation if it didn't look good. Anybody, Brother Sutliff, I know you have a problem with this. Kale chips, loves them. Kefir, loves it. Kombucha, can't stop. That is no temptation to him. Why? Because it tastes awful. Chocolate milk, though? Maybe a caramel frappuccino every now and then? No, you wouldn't do that. Cheese and cracker. Why? Why are these temptations? Because they look enticing. Aiken, don't touch that. Man. It's just a fishing lure. And the minute you bite, you're in trouble. You can walk around this thing, and you can dance around this thing, and it's not wise to be near it even with the hooks. But being tempted is not a sin. But when we act on our temptations, hunger, flesh, boom. Achan walked around that, I don't know what time. But he walked around all that and he watched all those walls come down. He saw that shimmery gold over there, some raiment. And he thought, I want that. Oh, the flesh. Say, when's it end? Heaven. Heaven. The choice of sin, number one, the why. Why? Because we have a fleshly nature. Number two, the warning. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. If you have a... I'm going to be looking at a couple passages here. We're going to be looking at a bunch in James and then in 2 Samuel. So maybe if you have a little something, you want to stick it in James just so you can jump back to it easily. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not... To him it is sin. Here we see a warning to us. Not just to stay away from evil, but to actually do good. I want you to listen to the statement. I have it written in my Bible at the end of the book of John. I forgot who said it. Every time we sin, we are choosing to love something more than Jesus. Every time I sin, I say, that's better than Jesus. What a lie. What in eternity is better than Jesus? Nothing. And we're warned. Hey, if you do that, that's going to be sin. Don't touch that, Achan. Stay away. But somewhere in our thought process, we think we'll be the exception. We think that the trouble will be worthwhile, whatever it is. But we grab a hold. We do not heed the warning. In James chapter 1 and verse 14, we'll see. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Now this is so important. Of his own lust and enticed. Of his own lust. It's a choice. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David, man after God's own heart, chose sin. And this is the story of David. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 9. Nathan the prophet comes to David and he says this. In verse 9, 2 Samuel 12, 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? See there. You've loved something more than the laws of God. To do evil in His sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain with him, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. You remember the story of Uriah. Sad story. There he was, and everyone steps back. He's on the front line. Wham, dies. Valiant, dying for the king who's say, oh, that was just a bad set of circumstances. That's what David commanded. That was David's plan. Please understand that in your life, every single sin is your choice. We can't blame anybody but ourselves. Achan chose. He chose poorly. Number one, the choice of sin. Number two, the consequence of sin. Herein lies the problem with sin. See, we live in the land of mercy, don't we? God's judgment, listen, is always just, though. If God judged us according to our sin right now, He would be justified. But I live in the land of mercy. Maybe Achan got used to the land of mercy. Maybe he got used to disobeying God and not having any ramifications. Got into a habit, a pattern of sin. That the laws of God no longer applied to Achan in the house of Achan. Whatever it was, there was no hiding it. He thought he hid it. See, this is so important. He thought he hid his sin. He thought no one knew about it. Look, go back to Joshua chapter 7. Look at verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, next city. But what Joshua doesn't know is there's a problem. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Was the problem with the report? No, it was an accurate report. The problem was not that. The problem was there was sin in the camp. So there went up thither the men about 3,000. And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. 36 men. For they chased them before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They knew the men that died. 36 men died. Why? Because of poor battle tactics? No, because there was sin in the camp. Because what Achan did, according to verse 1, God was angered against Israel because someone had disobeyed. But he thought it was hidden. 2 Samuel 12:12, I'll read it to you. This is Nathan talking to David. Similar thing. For thou didst it secretly. See, what Achan did was secret. No one knew. He had it buried in his house. No one was aware that there was sin going on in the house of Achan. Had they known, they would not have gone into battle. God says this about David, "For thou didst it secretly." But let's remember this, Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." There's no hiding from God. Oh, no one knows about wrong. Numbers 32:23, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." You can't hide sin from God. Why? Because Galatians 6:7 says, "You'll reap what you sow." Eventually, that thing's going to come out. Go back to James chapter 1, verse 15. James 1:15, there's a consequence to sin. James 1:15 says, "So then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, what does it do? Bringeth forth death." Achan thought, "I can get away with this. It's not going to be that big of a trouble. If anyone gets in trouble, it's my trouble. I'll deal with it. But my family at least has some money or something like that." 36 people died. 36 people died because he wanted a piece of cloth and some silver and gold. See, that's not fair. Sin's never fair. What, because I lie, there's death? Because a guy grabbed a piece of gold and silver and a little bit of raiment and hid in his house, 36 people died. That's not fair. That's judgment. That's the consequence of sin. You think, oh, it's just going to impact me. No, it not only impacts you, but everybody around you. That's how sin works. That's why your parents are screaming in your face to try and get you to stay away from stuff. That's why your pastor's neck is bulging out, yelling to warn you against sin. Why? Because it's destructive. It'll kill you and those around you. The Bible said in Joshua chapter 7 that the people's heart melted when they heard about 36 people dying. Why? Because they knew them. They had a name. They had a family. How'd it go for David? He was still king. Go back to 2 Samuel. In verse 13. Oh, David, he probably lost some gold, probably lost the kingdom. Worse. Death. 2 Samuel chapter 12, in verse 13. This is right after, "Thou didst secretly." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." Your son's going to die, though. See, that's not fair. Shouldn't have David died? See, that's the thing. The consequence of sin is incalculable. You can't say, "Well, okay, if I do this, this is how it's going to work out." The rules of sin are there are no rules. The effect of sin is much, much greater than what you ever anticipate. God doesn't take David's life. He takes his son's life, his child's life. And he's just in doing it. See what happened to Achan? Joshua chapter 7. See, that's sad. 36 people died. That's not the end of it. See, the consequence of sin didn't just affect the people that were outside of Achan's house. Look at this. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 11. The Bible says, "Israel has sinned." I don't know how this all works. My ways are not God's ways. But Achan took the stuff. It's in Achan's tent, Achan's house. Achan did it all. No one else knew about it. And yet he says, Israel sinned. I just wonder what happens here. Willful sin. And God says, well, and instead of, you know, Bobby or whatever that sinned, Walker Bible Baptist Church, the family of Israel has sinned. And they also then have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have ever taken of the accursed thing. And have also stolen and disassembled also. And they have put the even among their own stuff. One guy. Verse 16, we're going to read a little bit of a passage to understand what happens here. I think it's very important. Joshua goes before God and says, God, what happened? He's on his knees and God says, stand up. I'll tell you what happened. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. It's like God told Joshua, all right, here's what we're going to do. I want everyone to break up into their tribes. Okay, we got this, we got this. Okay, now take the tribe of Judah. Now go to, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took of the families of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. One guy. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua, and he said, indeed, I have sinned. I can see tears in his eyes. I can see him on the ground weeping and crying. Why? Because 36 of his fellow countrymen have died because of his disobedience. Achan, much like David here, gets right. Confesses. But it's too late. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and took 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, and I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent. And behold, it was hidden in his tent, and the silver under it. They took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah. Who took it? Who took the stuff? Achan took it. So far, body count right now, 36. Joshua and all Israel, and took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and the sons. And his sons. And his daughters. And his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they were brought into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Didn't know it was going to be that much trouble, Joshua. I thought I'd maybe have to repay sevenfold if I ever get caught. I didn't realize it was going to cost 36 people's lives. The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones and, look at this, and burned them. There in a pit is the family of Achan, his sons and his daughters. Unbeknownst to them, dad stole. And the effect of sin affected his whole family. There's his little girls holding on. I can't imagine. I can't imagine Sophie and Abby holding onto my side and me knowing that they're going to perish and be burned in stone because of my sin. Hey, when are we going to wake up to the reality of the consequences of sin? It's not just one person that it affects. The consequence and the trouble of sin impacts all those around, even the ones that are loved the most. Say, that's not fair. That's judgment. The choice of sin. We can never tell God, I didn't know. This stuff showed at my house. I don't know. Someone buried it. No. Achan, you took it. You buried it. What sins are in your life right now? Buried. Thirdly, there is victory though. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What am I supposed to do? First Corinthians 10:13 says this, therefore there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Please know that sin is a choice, but you don't have to yield to it. You can say no, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. This is the same author that wrote in Romans chapter 7, I don't do the things I ought to, and I do the things I ought not to. He says there is a way out though. But unfortunately, I don't take it all the time. But we can get out of it. There is an escape plan. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Resist the devil. What'll happen? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Achan just had to say no one more time. No to it. He looked at it, wanted it, desired it. And he looked back one more time. Had he just kept going, 36 lives and his whole family. Hey, if you could just resist it one more time. So what happens when I sin? You confess as quickly as you can. You know what the problem with David and Achan? They had to be found out. I don't know what would have happened. We don't know. But I wonder if Achan would have brought all that stuff to Joshua and said, I have a bag of stuff that I ought not to have. Take the stuff, put it in the treasury. I am sorry. Before there was ever a battle of Ai. Let's burn some oxen. Let's do all this. I am sorry. But judgment had to come because he did not judge himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11, 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. 1 Corinthians 11, 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Had Achan just taken the stuff and said, here, take it, I'm sorry, I apologize, I don't... The consequences would have been... Say, how do you know? Because if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. James 4:8 tells us this, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. We don't want God to have to come up to us and say, here, come on, get clean. By then it's too late. Initiate the cleansing process for the Christian. Get right. You can have victory over sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Last passage, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This ought to be where we live. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. He's not blaming anybody. He's not saying it was their fault. It's not Bathsheba's fault. It's not Uriah's fault. It's nobody else's. It was my fault. When was the last time you got honest with God and said, every sin in my life's my fault. Forgive me. Have mercy. Because if he brought justice, he would, if he brought judgment, he would be just. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 10. Last verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I know that there are sins which does so easily beset us. And we might be more susceptible and more given to it, but please know that every sin is a choice. And there are consequences to sin. But there's also triumph over them. We can get victory over them. But don't let the judgment of sin come to your house. Don't make the Holy Spirit come through and, all right, it's somewhere on County Line Road. It's the 2000 section. Russo House. No. Judge yourself before you are judged. So that's a pretty heavy message. Sin looks so good. Now, this doesn't look good to me. But to a fish, oh, this looks good. And there we do. We bite. Only to experience consequence. What's in your life? What needs to be dug out of your tent? What have you taken hold of? That God would be perfectly just to bring judgment to your house. So what am I supposed to do? Judge yourself before judgment comes. Let's all stand. Remember, the consequences impact much more than you ever anticipated. We have a brief time of invitation. If the Lord touched your heart about something tonight, say, this is more of a message for the Lord's Supper, don't you think? Like a cleansing and a... That's what the Lord laid on my heart for tonight. So what's in your life? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I am thankful for your mercy. Lord, I need it. Lord, I pray that whatever it is that you spoke to hearts about tonight, that we would communicate those things to you. Lord, we love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?